There is one word that is guaranteed to strike fear into the heart of the average Christian. It is evangelism. I'm not an evangelist, we say. Evangelists are those really cool people who can mosey up to complete strangers and say, "Have you believed in the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you know how much he loves you?" And as the eyes of the person that they're talking to fill with tears, as they know how lost they are, the super cool evangelist starts unpacking the scriptures. And the people they're talking to fall to their knees and beg to be baptized. And then they go away filled with the Holy Spirit, praising God. That's not me. I can't do that. I am not an evangelist. Now, I've met a few evangelists, and not many of them are like that. Two of my favourite evangelists are Nora and Len. They're in their 80s, and they live in sheltered accommodation in Berwick Hills. They have had over 160 years between them to get to know the living Lord and to radiate his love. They are helpful to their neighbours, they're kind, and they're encouraging. They try to draw the lonely into relationship with one another, and when they get the chance, they encourage people to come along to events run by the local church. Half a dozen or so of the people who live there have begun to regularly start attending events, and some of them have started coming to church on Sunday. The last time I was with Nora and Len, they were telling me that a couple of the ladies had approached them and said, "Would it be all right if they went on the annual church pilgrimage to Walsingham?" Every time I think of Nora and Len, I give thanks to God for the amazing ministry they have. And whenever I see them, I tell them how amazing they are. And they brush aside my thanks and my praise. They're just doing what comes naturally. Nora and Len are amazing evangelists. They haven't been on any courses to learn specialist evangelistic techniques. They're not particularly brilliant Bible scholars or gifted speakers. Their evangelistic work is a product of their faith, their labor prompted by love of their neighbors, and their endurance in the face of failing eyesight and creaking knees, inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. You can do what Nora and Len do. You can do what the people of the church in Thessalonica did. They too became a model to their neighbors, the people of Macedonia and Achaia. Their words, their message rang out not only there, but everywhere. Their faith in God became known everywhere. Paul heard directly from those who had received their message. "They tell," he says, "how you turn to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead." This is what the people of Macedonia saw and heard. A people who turned from idols to serve the living God, whose Son was Jesus Christ, who rose from the dead. Action and proclamation. What they did and what they said. How they behaved. And who they served. It is easy to be an evangelist, a bringer of good news, if you know the good news for yourself, and if you allow it to transform your whole life, as Nora and Len did, as the church in Thessalonica did. If your life has been transformed by the knowledge and love of the Lord Jesus Christ, you will struggle to keep it hidden. It will shine out of you wherever you go. And when someone asks you the question, why are you like this? Why do you do what you do? All you have to say is, because I know and am loved by Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who rose from the dead. And if after a little while of carrying on those conversations and that relationship, it's clear that they want to know that love too, that they have a life which is broken and hurting, that they're lonely or fearful, lacking hope or beauty in their lives, then maybe your compassion, fired by the compassion of Christ himself, will inspire you to say, can I pray for you that you will know the love of Jesus as well in your own life? And just maybe they'll say yes. What is it that holds us back? Why are we so worried about telling people the one thing that is probably the most important and amazing thing in our lives? A few years ago, I became mildly obsessed by a certain brand of red onion chutney. I had it on everything, on cheese sandwiches, on ham sandwiches, on roast chicken, on pork pie, on vanilla ice cream. Okay, I lied about the ice cream part. I'm not that obsessed. But I was so enamored of this particular brand of chutney, I remember taking every opportunity to encourage my friends and family, whenever I met them, to try it. It's amazing, I said. Once you've had it, you'll never go back to another form of chutney again. I wonder if that's ever happened to you. Not being forced to eat chutney by me, but being so fired up by a new thing that you found that you can't help going and sharing it with people. I know it sounds a bit hackneyed to ask this question, but if we can tell our friends about a great new TV series that we've watched on television, or a new hairdresser we've found, or a wonderful new pair of shoes, which are the most comfortable things that we've ever had, why do we struggle to tell them the great news about Jesus? In our gospel reading this morning, we've heard how John sets out, more clearly than any of the other evangelists, the last teachings of Jesus to his disciples, his words of encouragement and instruction. Speaking in prayer to his Father, he's also speaking to the disciples when he says, "I gave them the words you gave me, and they accepted them. As you sent me into the world, so I am sending them." Jesus gives us the words to speak about God, and then he sends us out into the world to live out those words in our lives and share them with a world which is crying out for the love of God, for his mercy and his justice. And Jesus sanctifies us as he is sanctified to equip us for that task. That sanctification is easy to see in Nora and Len. They let the light of Christ shine out in everything they do and everything they say, every day, 24/7. It's not a church thing. It's a whole life thing. In everything they do, every day, it's about who they are, not what they do. But not only are we sanctified 24/7, made holy for the task 24/7, Jesus also prays for us 24/7 as we go out. My prayer, he says, is not for them alone, referring to his disciples. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message. How amazing is that? When we are out in the world, made holy by God, with his words on our lips, Jesus himself is praying for us, opening the ears and the hearts of those we meet so that they will believe in him. If Jesus is praying for those who go out and share the good news, our task ought to be very simple. All we need to do, surely, is to live out the words, the good news we have been given, and when called upon to explain why we are as we are, name Jesus as the one in whom we believe. And yet, it still feels like it's too hard. Why? I think part of it is that we know that we struggle to be fully submitted to Christ, to allow ourselves to be one with him, Christ in us and we in him. Jesus says, I pray for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one. I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you have sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Jesus the Son, God the Father, you and me, all one in complete unity of heart and purpose and spirit. But we struggle, I think, to be one in Christ, one with each other. We struggle to let go of our egos, our pride, our self-importance. We think too much, perhaps, about ourselves and not about the God who saved us and the people he has sent us to. We focus too much inwardly. Am I good enough? What will people think of me if I talk about Jesus? What if I say something stupid? But Jesus says, you are one in him, just as he is one in the Father. Elsewhere in John, he tells us that he will send us the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, who will guide us into all truth. And if you are one in Christ and he is one in you, and how can you be afraid? The most important task of the evangelist is to believe the good news that Jesus came to save us. He died for us and rose again that we might be one with the Father in the power of the Spirit. When we know the good news for ourselves, we really know it so that we live and breathe the good news every day in all that we do, then we will be the best evangelists in the world. We might even be as good as Nora and Lynn.